This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله جل وعلا به الغمة فتركنا على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبريكاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, it is from human nature that every day either we are buying or we are selling. And if we are not directly in buying or selling, we are somehow affected by it. Either going through flyers, going through advertisements, hearing the advertisements on the radio, being affected by the advertisements on TV. We are always affected by this concept known as consumerism. This society wants us to buy. They want us to keep buying and buying and buying in hopes that we will attain some sort of satisfaction. And this concept of consumerism is not something new to the Muslims. And this concept of buying and selling is not something new to the Muslims. But rather it is old to the Muslims. The Muslims were from the predecessors of buying and selling. From the time when people used to exchange goods, when they didn't have a currency to buy and sell in, but rather they would just exchange goods. This is when the Muslims started buying and selling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually uses the concept of trade and uses the concept of buying and selling in the Qur'an to address the Muslims and to encourage them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bought from the believers their souls and their wealth in exchange for al-jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inciting the believers over here that your wealth and your lives, you've sold them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what? For something known as al-jannah. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was addressing his companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he said, إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ غَالِيَةً إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ غَالِيَةً إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ غَالِيَةً أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْجَنَّةِ. That indeed the merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expensive. Indeed the merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expensive. Indeed the merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expensive. And know that the merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than paradise. Now, paradise as we know it, and as we've heard of it, and as we've possibly imagined. Imagine if you had a guarantee for paradise. Would you not be exasperated with excitement? Would you not be overjoyed with pleasure, knowing that you can go to paradise and you can have a guarantee for paradise? Now, before we get to that, think about this concept. When we all go shopping, what is usually the first question that we ask? We usually ask, you know, how much is this product? And nowadays, in our times, the second follow-up question is there a guarantee or is there a warranty for this product? Now imagine, you have the product that you want, and you have a guarantee. Would you not take this product? Indeed we would. Only a foolish person would leave such a thing. Now we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and narrating from him, Ubadah ibn Samit, the noble companion, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَضْمِنُوا لِي سِتًّا مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَضْمِنْ لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ أُصْدُقُوا إِذَا حَدَّثْتُمْ وَأَوْفُوا إِذَا وَعَدْتُمْ وَأَدُّوا إِذَا أُعْتَمِنْتُمْ وَاحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ وَغَضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ وَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ. That Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the noble and illustrious companion, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, guarantee me 6 things from yourselves and I will guarantee you paradise. If you speak, then speak the truth. And if you make a promise, then fulfill that promise. And if you are ever trusted with anything, then return that trust and protect your private parts and stay chaste. And lower your gaze and protect the people from your hands. Meaning always keep your hands lowered. Don't be someone who is very vicious and very attacking and likes to attack the people with his hands. The Prophet ﷺ is giving a guarantee over here, that guarantee me 6 things from yourself and I will guarantee you paradise. The very first lesson that we learn from this is that this is from the greatest of people making a promise to you. This is as-sadiq al-masduq, that the one who spoke, he only spoke the truth. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that he did not speak from his own whims and desires, but rather he spoke that which was revealed to him. So there's no possible way that this guarantee would not be fulfilled. But rather, it is with absolute certainty that it would be fulfilled. So here you have a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger that you will have paradise if you fulfill these 6 things. Now the first characteristic that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned is that when you speak, speak the truth. It is really sad and depressing that we see the Muslims today. They are from the biggest of liars in our times. That you ask them the simplest of questions, and rather than speaking the truth, they just have this innate urge to lie to you. It is really sad to see. But we see on the other hand, this is not the characteristics that the Quran wants us to have. This is not the characteristics that our cultures tried to instill in us. These are not the characteristics of noble people. Yet it is the Muslims who are the best of creation and the best of nations that have come upon this earth that have fallen into this great sin. The Prophet ﷺ said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَحْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَحْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That the Prophet ﷺ said, upon you is to be truthful. For indeed, being truthful leads to righteousness. And righteousness leads to al-jannah. And then the ending of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person continues to tell the truth until he is written as a siddiq عند Allah, that he is written as a person who is constantly truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now which one of us would not want to have that characteristic of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to be written as a siddiq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This can be achieved just by speaking the truth. Fight that urge to lie. Sometimes we are in a situation where we feel that it may be safer to lie, that we may be protected from something. But always remember, the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than anything you can face in this dunya. So if you speak the truth now, yes, you might face some sort of harm from something that you did. But know that at least Allah will be pleased with you and you will be protected from the adab of the akhirah. And likewise, you do not abandon anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that He replaces it with something better. So even this truth that you may tell that may get you into trouble or may bring about some harm upon you, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from all relevant harms. The second characteristic that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked us to have and guarantee to him was that when we make a promise, we should fulfill it. And this is directly related to the very first point, that how often are we making promises? We tell our parents, you know, I promise to mow the lawn when I come home, or I promise to take out the garbage. Yet we leave it. We think of it as something minute. Whereas keeping the promise is something which is very noble. It is a very noble characteristic. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immensely praises in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when he was describing the believers, he says, يُوفُونَ بِنُذُورِهِمْ, that they used to fulfill their oaths and their promises. So the fulfilling of the promises is something that is highly praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is a description and a characteristic of the believers. So when you make a promise, fulfill your promise and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid the one who intends to do good. So if you make a promise and you intend to fulfill it, even though there may be hardship in it, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in your aid. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَدُّوا إِذَا أُعْتَمِنْتُمْ, and return the trust that is given to you. In society, we all have friends. We all have family members. We all have people who depend on us. And from time to time, they will rely upon us to keep secrets, to keep something valuable to them until they return or ask for it back. These are all trusts that are given to us. And it is from the characteristics of the believer that he fulfills these trusts. And if you fulfill this trust, then know that you're one step closer to achieving the guarantee of the Prophet ﷺ in receiving paradise. The fourth characteristic that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ, that stay chaste, protect your private parts from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلًا, and do not come near adultery and fornication, for indeed it is something lewd and an evil way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here is not saying do not perform zina, but rather he says do not approach it and do not come close to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this so that even those paths that may lead to zina, you stay away from. And the subsequent point that is coming up next is from one of those ways that leads to zina, that sadly very few people are conscious of. The very next point that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is غُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ, and lower your gaze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا أَبْصَارَهُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and tell the believers to lower their gaze, that it is pure for them. And you'll notice that all these characteristics that are being mentioned over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't gaining anything from this, but rather we are the ones who are gaining from it in this dunya. From fulfilling these characteristics, not only do we purify our societies from evil characteristics and evil acts, but we also learn to cooperate with each other and learn to live with each other in goodness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't gaining anything from this directly, but rather we are the ones that are gaining. And it is only from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His immense blessing and His great fadl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would actually reward us for these things. When it is these very characteristics that we should have naturally. As Muslims, we need to have these characteristics naturally and teach them to our children and implement them in our daily lives. How many of us are businessmen? And then from time to time we will lie about the prices. How many of us are parents or our wives and our husbands and our brothers and sisters? We are trusted with secrets, yet we'll go to our friend and tell them. Or we'll tell our wives something and our wives will go and tell them to one of their friends. How often does this happen? This is not the way of the believers. And likewise, the lowering of the gates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as two distinct genders. We live with each other and we interact with each other, but not in a fashion and a manner that we desire, but rather in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislates. For the men, it is upon them to lower their gaze towards the women. For the women, it is for them not to beautify their voices in front of the men. And this is how you purify society. and make sure or cut the means of anything, of a greater evil taking place. And the very last point that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in this hadith, وَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ, and prevent yourselves from harming others. And low, keep your arms low. Meaning that do not be of those atrocious people who are always attacking the Muslims with their hands and hitting them and slapping them and all these other things. But rather, the Muslim is someone who is calm. He keeps his hands to his sides. If he has a message to convey, he conveys it with his tongue. If he has something to express, he knows how to do it without getting angry and starting to attack people. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in another hadith that the Muslim is the one whom the believers are safe from his hands and his tongue. That the very definition and description of a Muslim is the one who protects the other believers from his hands and his tongue. Now brothers and sisters, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us 6 things to do. If we fulfill them, he has guaranteed us paradise. These are very simple things to do. In this month of Ramadan, the month which is known as the month of self-control, the month of imsak, what a time it is to implement these 6 noble characteristics. Start from this very day, multiply your rewards, and make your path to Jannah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In this beautiful month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters, there is a characteristic or a trait that we should all try to fulfill. Yes, we've talked about this hadith where Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam guarantees us paradise if we fulfill these 6 things. But there is something else which is specific to this month that we need to be very conscious of. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in one of his very first hadith, when he came to Medina, وَأَطْعِمُوا الْأَبْرَارِ, and feed the righteous people. Brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan, all of us are fasting. We have our suhoor in the morning, and we need to have our iftar at night time. But why is it that we like to have our iftars alone? We will have in our houses just our immediate family. Or we will come to a masjid, and it will just be the people of that local community who will be eating in that masjid. Brothers and sisters, in this blessed month, we should take the opportunity to feed the people at iftar time. Invite people that you don't know to your house. Invite people who are not from your community to your masjid and treat them as your guests. Because this is a commandment from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that feed the righteous people. And know that when you feed the fasting person, you get the reward of their fast without decreasing anything from the reward of their fast. So, if you want the reward of 100 people who are fasting, it is possible that in the previous years you didn't fast, you may want to make up for that reward that you missed out on. Take this opportunity to feed your fasting brothers and sisters. Something very easy to do. And it is something that doesn't require much. Have a few dates, have some milk, and share with them the food that you are regularly going to have anyways. And for this, you get the reward of their fast. Brothers and sisters, Ramadan is indeed a blessed month upon us. And we need to take advantage of this month. Every small deed that we can perform, we need to be hasty in performing. And every sin that we may commit, we need to abstain from as soon as possible. This is the month that if you want to quit smoking, this is the month where you start. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chains up the devils, and He aids the believers in all good. If you have any other problems that you need to sort out, this is the month to do it in. Because this is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses our time, blesses our wealth, and blesses all other aspects of our lives. And I end off in reminding you a great commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with Himself, and then commanded the angels with, and then the rest of the believers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيه على الإسلام وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان اللهم أصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغ به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأقم الصلاة.